Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. And in studio with us, here in the Leaders Portfolio studio, is the President and CEO of Regional Contracting Services, Ms. Beverly Thomas. Regional Contracting Services offers rough carpentry work, has annual sales revenues of $25 million, and was previously a Hot 500 growing business from Entrepreneur Magazine. Welcome to Leaders Portfolio, Beverly.
Thank you very much.
Now, your clients have included Baltimore Orioles Stadium, Children's National Medical Center, and the Mandarin Hotel. Talk a little bit about what you provide for either these or other clients.
Okay. For the ballpark, we did not only the Baltimore Stadium, but also the Washington National Stadium. And those were very specific because you don't do ballparks every day. So whenever they're running to get one of those foul balls and they hit the wall and those feel wall pads, that's what we had to furnish and install at the ballparks, at both ballparks.
Children's, that's kind
of fun. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, we always keep our fingers crossed when someone hits the one of those field pads, like, please, please don't let it come down. And then the bulk of our business is all carpentry. So if you think about your home, you have doors. We furnish and install those. You have crown molding. We put that in hotels like a Mandarin Hotel. When you go into a bathroom, you have to have grab bars and shower hooks and all those different things. Toilet tissue rolls, all of those different things have to be installed. So we furnish and install that. So anything for your interior of a building minus the drywall, we can furnish and install that. And that's what we do.
And you started out, talk a little, you started in 2001.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about your first client and how that evolved into other clients.
Okay. The first client we had was actually on the new DC Convention Center. They were about to go online. And so one of the first contracts that we had at the convention center was a really kind of different. We were doing insulation, just insulating all those walls. And then because of the small business requirement in the district, then other contractors called and was like, hey, can you guys cover all the carpet? And so we got into that. And then they asked us for different things. Can you install the doors? Yes, we can do that. And so things just continue to evolve on that convention center project. And from that, we got recognized and then just started bidding other general contractors and other contractors in the area. And the business just started to grow.
And you said, I have a business. I didn't really want this much of a business at first.
That is correct. That is correct. And what I tell people, I tell people the truth. I got tricked into construction. Without going into tons of detail, I worked for a contractor about 13 years ago, and I was his office manager. I had just gotten married and moved here to the area. I worked there for about 2 years, and I started to get bored. And I was like, you know, I'm going to start looking for another job. I'm going to find my own replacement. He goes, no, let's go into business together. I was like, do what? He says, construction. I was like, I don't know that much about construction. He says, no, you know more than you think. And so he funded me all this money because he says, look, they're going to build a new DC Convention Center. There are these minority requirements in the district. You're black, you're a woman, you could get certified, and we could just grow this business. So we fast forward. He gives me the money. I open an office. I get furniture. I figure out how to get certified in the District of Columbia, and Regional Contracting Services is born. And probably about 2 or 3 weeks after that, I start getting these phone calls. Oh, we'll just call him Jack. Jack said to talk to you about office furniture. I was like, we don't do office furniture. Jack told me to call you because of office supplies. We don't do office supplies. And so now I'm talking to Jack, who gave me all this money. And he looks me right in the eye and he goes, listen, this is really my company. I'm paying you well. These are friends of mine and they want to do business with us. And this is what you're going to do.
Wow.
And so now I've got this company with my name on it.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what to do because I don't know that much about construction. And so I talked to my husband and he goes, okay, look, you've got to figure something out. You've got to figure out a way to pay this guy back and get out of it. And so we fast forward. I start going to school at night. Learning, taking classes in estimating, construction management, start developing relationships because my background has always been in sales and marketing. I started developing these relationships and selling business and start paying him back. And it took about 3 years. And what I tell people, Rebecca, is that it's really my faith in God, because I'm praying like, God, get me away from this guy. Get me away. I don't know what to do. And the biggest thing was that we never had anything in writing.
Wow.
Everything was always in my name, but we never had an agreement in writing. I signed a promissory note to pay him back the money. It took about 3 years. I paid him back, gave him 5% interest. I have not seen or spoken to him in years.
Wow.
And at the same time, Regional keeps growing and growing and growing. And here we are 10 years later. But that's how I got into construction.
So in a way, you actually, and this gets into leadership, which is interesting, you without a contract, you actually didn't really have to pay him back. I mean, you had a promissory note.
So I had a promissory
note. You did kind of maybe have to pay him back.
To pay him back the money, yeah. Yeah, but it was about integrity. I borrowed it. You know, you gave it to me, but I paid you back. But yeah. But in terms of the business itself, everything was always in my name. That was it. And the funny thing is that every time we were supposed to go to the lawyers and get everything drafted up and signed, something happened. Something kept happening. And we never got it in writing.
Wow.
And there we are, 10 years. This July 1st will be 10 years.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting, because it also gets into the issue. And we were talking about this in the green room about how, you know, how the minority contracting and how, you know, it's a blessing and a curse.
Because
in some ways it's points, but in other ways it hurts people because they, you know, might think, well, it's a, you know, point system. And,
exactly.
And what about the credentials, right?
Exactly.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and
that's what you're talking about with this guy.
Absolutely.
He, in a way, used you for points.
Totally, totally used me, because he and all of his other friends, of course, they're all contractors. And you saw the way that the district was heading in terms of small business, because everyone knows small business really fuels the economy. And so they saw where the district wanted to build and develop. And so all of these guys, and they were all white male business owners, and they're in some different facet of construction, they all said, oh, this is great. We know her because she's always worked with him. We know her. He's attached to her. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know. And what they do, it's just called pass-through. Look, I want to use your company. I'm going to pay you 2%, 3%. Meanwhile, they've got a $5, $7, $9 million contract. And they can say they had minority participation. And, you know, just buy some office supplies for me, buy some lumber, some stone, whatever the case may be. And so that's where it's a curse. There are some contractors out there that will set themselves up as small businesses just for the minority piece, but then they don't want to self-perform work. They don't want to do anything. They just want to collect that 2 or 3%. Where for us, Regional, we have 45 people on staff every day. They're working. And so we want to be a legitimate contractor where we go out and we do the work. And so what has happened over time, we've had to force these contractors to say, listen, if you want to use Regional, we need to self-perform work. Now, there is already a set aside for this from the government, whether the district or federal. You need to set aside some of this work for us to self-perform, because then we make a larger margin, people get paid, and those dollars from people working go right back into the economy because they have to pay taxes.
Right.
And that is the goal. That is the goal.
So you feel like you're always, as a business leader, we're talking with Beverly Thomas, President CEO of Regional Contracting Service, you're almost trying to prove yourself.
Every day. Every single day. From contract to contract. Even they know our work. We've done projects with these same guys before. You're still proving yourself every single day, contract by contract. They will still call you because there's the minority requirement or the small business requirement. They'll call you because of that. But if there's no small business requirement, they'll give it to someone else, even though they know we can do the same work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you have a Bachelor's of Science in Management from Columbia Union College.
Yes.
So talk to me about your overall leadership philosophy.
Well, my overall leadership philosophy is really about empowerment. And what I try to do in terms of leading the management team is to make sure first I hire the right people. And I can actually attribute our success to, I try to hire people that are smarter than me in their particular discipline. And then in terms of leading them, it's giving them some some level of autonomy to manage the projects, manage their workforce on the different projects, but then just kind of massaging what they do and keeping them on track, because of course I'm looking at the numbers. I'm always looking at the profitability and just trying to always steer them in that right direction. I don't believe in micromanagement unless you have a new person, because you want them to understand the way you manage. The other thing in terms of a leadership philosophy, it's always about integrity. It's your reputation, it's integrity. Whether or not we make money or lose money on a project, will we ever get called back? We want people to say, this was a tough job. We're sorry you didn't make as much money, but you finished. The work was there. The quality was there. And we're going to take you with us onto the next project. And so from a leadership standpoint, we constantly try to instill in everyone, the only thing we have is our integrity. And if you can manage every project with integrity, and people understand that's your philosophy, your core belief, you can take them in any direction you want them to go. You really, really can. But you have to lead with integrity.
Speaking of integrity, faith is important to you. And
yes.
You said your success at Regional, you believe, is due to your faith in God.
Absolutely.
A strong management team and employee contribution.
Yes.
And so talk about that.
One of the things is it is my faith in God. I always tell people, if you want to know that you're in alignment, not horizontally, but vertically with God, get into construction and you had no background in it. Get into any industry that you've had no background in, and thrive for 10 years and be successful. Not that it's been easy. And so I've had to put all of my faith and trust in God, because there was no one there to mentor me. I think anyone that wants to get into business always have a mentor. I didn't have a mentor. I was just out there trying to figure it out on my own. And it was my faith in God, because there were many times I wanted to quit and give in, but I couldn't. And so it was always my faith in God. And the other thing that we do at Regional is, before every meeting, we open our meeting in prayer, every single meeting. And that is important to me, because you cannot achieve any level of success. And success to me is peace of mind without having God. And so that's a core belief in how we operate Regional.
Excellent. Ms. Beverly Thomas, President CEO of Regional Contracting Services, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
I want to encourage all the leaders out there to apply for the Business Leader of the Year or Leadership Business of the Year. Send your application in to Leaders Portfolio. Applications in progress right now. We'll be back after this on Leaders Portfolio. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's coallarchitects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux-Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L Architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.